questions, sir. Well, good morning. I'm going to bring this down because God did not bless me with height. It's a pleasure to see all of you here this morning. I know you had no other choice, but thank you for being here. There was a guy behind me today on the road. He had some blue lights. I guess he was trying to get somewhere himself. Hope he made it on time, but I want to thank... I know it's early in the morning. Some of you are still crying from that quiz you failed the last hour. Amen. But I want to thank the Lord for being here. Thank the Lord for this school and Pastor, Dr. Comfort and Dr. Beal and the work that they've done here over the years. I do thank the Lord for the ministry he's given to us. In March, we'll be there. It'll be 3 years. Thank the Lord for that. The church has grown, and we've had several new families join this year, so we thank God for that as well. And yes, we are at the point where we're looking to buy the property where we're meeting. The property is worth $1.2 million. So if you can help towards that, it'd be a blessing. The good thing about it is that the church that is selling it, they've actually brought the price down to $600,000. So that's nothing to the Lord. So we're just looking to get the down payment together and get that taken care of. And God willing, by the end of this year, we should be able to sign the papers and get that property. So please pray for us that the Lord will provide. It is a 3-acre property, has 4 buildings on it, an auditorium probably the size of this one, and another building, educational building, 2 floors, 11, 12 classroom building, classrooms, and then 2 modular buildings that we use for our Christian school. And this is our 2nd year having our Christian school. In fact, where's Carol? Where are you? There you are. Carol actually taught the 1st year at our Christian school. We have 24 students this year, and we're looking to have about 30 next year. And so we are thankful to the Lord for that facility that we can use for his honor and glory. And by the way, we do need a couple of teachers for next year. If you are a elementary ed teacher and you'd be interested, you don't have to know Spanish. Everything is in English. But we do need teachers for next year, and we're looking for folks that can help us with that. Obviously, you'll be compensated. You're not going to be making $50,000 a year. You'll be making $1,000 a year. But, you know, it's for the Lord. Amen? Some of you did not like that. That's all right. The Lord will provide. No, but we can provide housing if needed. But if you're interested in that, please talk to me after the service. I believe our academy is actually watching through streaming this morning, so I hope that they're paying attention because I'm going to ask them questions when I get back. Do thank the Lord for my family. Met my wife here, and we have 4 children and one more on the way. I'm still trying to figure out how that happens. But anyway. We have number 5 coming, and really the Lord's been good. She's had a lot of, you know, all those things that come with pregnancies, and really I'm kind of nervous because my mother is a twin, her mom is a triplet. They're set to twin on my father's side of the family, and she says that this, the pain and everything she's going through is twice what it was with the other ones. So I'm a little nervous. But anyway, please pray for us that the Lord will be merciful upon us. I did bring my English Bible, my King James Bible this morning. And so, Mr. Beal said, actually this is the 2nd time I've preached in English in the past 2 years. So if I start speaking in Spanish, just calm down. Eventually I'll look at your faces. You'll be going, what? What's he saying? And I'll come back to English. Go with me to the book of 2 Samuel, please, chapter 13. 2 Samuel, chapter 13. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. 2 Samuel, chapter 13, and verse number 1. Now, I know some of you are still sleepy, so I'm going to ask you to stand as we read the Word of God so that you can wake up a little bit and be attentive to the Word of God. The Bible says in 2 Samuel, chapter 13, and verse number 1, "And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, Lay thee down on thy bed and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat, and dress the meat in my sight that I may see it, and eat it at her hand. So Amnon laid down and made himself sick, and when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar my sister come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight that I may eat it at her hand. Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, Go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down. And she took flour and kneaded it and made cakes in his sight and did bake the cakes. And she took a pan and poured them out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, Have out all men from me. And they went out every man from him. And Amnon said unto Tamar, Bring the meat into the chamber, that I may eat of thine hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them into the chamber to Amnon her brother. And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, Come, lie with me, my sister. And she said, and she answered him, Nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not this folly. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. Howbeit, he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and laid with her. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day you've given to us. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to open your word once again and learn from it. I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit will be the preacher this morning, that I may be a useful tool in your hands. And I pray, O God, that this message would find its place in the hearts of each person here. Thank you, Lord, for the calling that you've given to us to serve you. Thank you for this wonderful calling to be in the ministry. And I pray, O God, that you will help us not to be derailed by the things of this world, by the attraction of the world and all of the things that the world offers to us. I pray, O God, that you will help us to be focused and help these young people here this morning, Lord, to stay focused on what you have for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, I believe that all of you are here, at least most of you are here, because you have a calling of God upon your life. God knows that. He has called you into the ministry. You know that. You have surrendered yourself to the ministry, but also Satan knows that you have been called into the ministry of the Lord. And if there's something the devil wants for your life, is that he wants to destroy your life before you get to that point where you are serving the Lord full time. He wants to get you to the point where he destroys your effectiveness for the Lord. And if there is one way that he will do this, it is through friendships. The Bible says in verse number 4 and verse number 3 that Amnon had a what? Can somebody tell me? He had a friend. And I want you to know and understand that Satan wants to do anything and everything possible to entice you to sin. He wants to do anything and everything possible to get you away from the calling of God upon your life. And one of the ways that he will do that or try to do that will be through the friendships that you have. Therefore, it is extremely important as a person or as a young man, a young lady that has been called into the ministry, that you learn to choose carefully who your friends will be. As I look through my life, I can see back in my early teen years and then my young adult life. I'm still a young man, thank God for that. But I look back and I see three different occasions where Satan used three sets of friends to derail me from the calling that God had placed upon my life. And had it not been for the grace of God, had it not been for the counsel of my pastor and my parents, I would have been another number, another person that was derailed from serving God because of the friends that I had. And I praise God that the Lord did everything in His power to move me away from them, to give me counsel, to put people in my path, to show me, listen, the friends that you have are not helping. The friendships that you have will not help you get to the point that God, where God can use you for His honor and glory. The Bible says in Proverbs 27 and verse 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend. In Proverbs 27 and verse 17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And so the Bible tells us and warns us. And here in this passage, we see this story. And I'm pretty sure you've read it and you've heard of it. And you've probably heard messages from it in the past. But I want to emphasize this man named Jonadab, this friend that Amnon had, this friend that was used of Satan to destroy Amnon's life, to destroy Tamar's life, and really to bring division into the life of David's family. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And I want you to know that one of those sets of friends, one of those three sets of friends that I mentioned to you, that Satan tried to use in my life to derail me from the calling of God, one of those sets of friends was, I met them here on this campus. I met them here in this place. Yes, they came here, but they did not have the calling of God upon their lives. They were worldly, worldly minded. They did not want to have anything to do with the will of God. And Satan tried to use them in my life to derail me from the calling of God. And so you may say, well, we're at a Bible college. Yes, even in Bible colleges, you can find a Jonadab. And so please be careful. Now, the devil knows that he cannot take away your salvation from you, but he can surely take away your testimony and destroy your effectiveness for the Lord. And so as we go through this message, I want you to ask yourself this question. Do I have a Jonadab in my life? Ask yourself, do you have a friend in your life right now that the devil is using to keep you from growing spiritually? Do you have a friend right now in your life who is a stumbling block in your service to the Lord? Do you have a Jonadab in your life? For some of you, that Jonadab is waiting for you during Christmas break. For some of you, that Jonadab attends the church where you attend on a weekly basis. For some of you, your Jonadab is in this auditorium right now. So I pray that as we go through this message, and when the invitation is given, you will determine, examine your life first. Do I have this type of person? And if you find out that, yes, you do have a Jonadab, that you will do anything and everything possible to get this person out of your life before it is too late. Well, you may say, well, Pastor Christian, you don't understand. I mean, this is my best friend. Or she's my best friend. Or I've known so-and-so for such a long time. I mean, how can I get this person out of my life? Well, listen, I don't care if you potty trained with this person. I don't care if you've known this person from kindergarten. If this person has the qualities in his or her life that this man Jonadab had, he is a good candidate to be used by Satan to destroy your life. And if you consider the calling of God upon your life to be important, if you consider it to be a high calling, and it doesn't matter how long you've known that person, it doesn't matter how good of a friend he or she is, you will set that person aside for the high calling of God. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. And so how do we know we have a Jonadab in our life? Now, before we get into the message, I want you to notice this man's character. Before we go into looking at the how you know or how you can figure out how you if you have a Jonadab, look at his character. The Bible tells us in verse number 3, that he had a friend, Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab. And in the last part of the verse, the Bible says, and Jonadab was a very subtle man. He was a very subtle man. That word subtle is found only three times in our Bible. The first time is used in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 1. Now, do you remember of whom the Bible was speaking of in that chapter? The Bible says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast. And we know that that serpent was Satan. The second time it is used here in this passage. The third time is used in Proverbs chapter 7 and verse number 10, where the Bible says, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. And so right off the bat, we know what kind of man we're dealing with here. God puts him in an elite group. He puts him in a group where we have Satan and a harlot. And right in the midst of Satan and a harlot, you find Jonadab. And so if that's the type of friend you want to hang out with, you go right ahead. But I will tell you right now, he or she will be used of Satan to derail you from the calling of God. He or she will be used of Satan to destroy your testimony and destroy your effectiveness for God, and you will never do anything in the work of the Lord. You need to understand that the calling of God is more important. It is more important than any relationship you may have with some type of friend, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever this world can offer. And so Jonadab is grouped here with Satan and a harlot. Now, how do we know when we have, or how do we know we have a Jonadab in our lives? Well, you have a Jonadab in your life if you have a friend that, first of all, gives you advice that goes against the Word of God. You have a Jonadab in your life if you have a friend that, first of all, gives you advice that goes against the Word of God. Now, did you notice the advice he gave him? Jonadab comes and he looks at Amnon and he says, now, Amnon, I've noticed that you're getting skinnier by the moment. I mean, I wish I had that problem. It's not happening. I think I'm in competition with my wife. Let's see who gets to the 9 months earlier first. But it doesn't matter what I tried. I mean, when you're in a Spanish church, you're getting tacos. You're getting pozole. You're getting enchiladas every week. I mean, it's just hard. But anyway, I'm suffering for the Lord. But he says, listen, I see that you're lean from day to day. Why don't you tell me what's going on, Amnon? Jonadab wanted to find out what was going on with him. And he says, look, I love Tamar. I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. Now, he forgot to mention one thing. What did he forget? It was his sister too. Yes, it was his half-sister, but it was still his sister. And the Bible, just like the serpent gave Eve advice that went against the Word of God, Jonadab here follows the same route. And he tells him, listen, it doesn't matter. I know what you want. I know what you desire. And so he tells him, this is what you need to do in order to fulfill that desire, in order to get what you want. And he gives him advice that makes him go against the clear Word of God. In Leviticus 18 and verse number 9, the Bible says, the nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or the daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. I mean, when God says one thing, or something one time, that's good enough, but he didn't say it one time. He said it three other times in Leviticus chapter 18 and verse number 11. And then he repeats it again in Leviticus 20 and verse number 17. And so Jonadab comes and he says, listen, I know what you want and here is how to do it. He gave him advice that clearly went against the Word of God. And unfortunately, some of you have friends that are doing the exact same thing, whether they be here in school, whether they're back in your home church, whether they're in your neighborhood waiting for you to get back during Christmas breaks, you have a friend who will be or has been giving you advice that goes against the Word of God, advice that is ungodly, and what you need in your life is a little backbone to stand up and say, you know what? I've been called of God. I know what the Word of God says. And when someone gives you advice that goes against the Word of God, you say, hey, listen, no thank you. No thank you. Thanks, but no thanks. You have a Jonadab in your life if you have a friend that is giving you advice that goes against the Word of God. The Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And yes, there are even Bible students, Christian school students and Bible college students that are not that blessed man that is ignoring the counsel of the ungodly. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse number 1, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me." Whose counsel are you following this morning? Some of you have made mistakes in your life because you've been following the counsel of others other than the Lord. And so it is unfortunate that some of you have these types of friends. But what is even more unfortunate is the fact that some of you are following their ungodly and wicked advice. Yes, even in Bible college. That is going to ruin your life. The devil is using that person to deceive you into sinning against God. Proverbs 12 and verse number 1, "The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit." And so you need to decide in your life, listen, I am going to choose my friends carefully. I want you to know, I don't have a lot of friends. I don't have a lot of friends. I hang out with my wife and my kids and the people in the church, but outside of church, the only friends that I have are pastors. I don't have other friends. Because most people are carnal, most people are not spiritual, and I understand this, that if I hang out with them, if I'm always around them, that lack of spirituality, that carnality is going to rub off on me. And I understand one thing, I have a calling of God, and I will not allow in my life friends that have the characteristics that this man has or had. And so you have a Jonadab in your life if you have a friend that gives you advice that goes against the word of God. Let me ask you this. Do you have this type of friend? Do you have this type of friend? If you do, you have a Jonadab in your life, and you better ask God to help you get rid of that friend before the devil uses him or her to destroy your testimony. Secondly, you have a Jonadab in your life if you have a friend who gives you advice that leads you to deal deceitfully with those in authority over you. You have a Jonadab in your life if you have a friend who gives you advice that leads you to deal deceitfully with those in authority over you. We see here that David or that Jonadab says to Amnon, listen, I'm going to help you out here. Now, you need to get Tamar in a place just by your lonesome self. And so this is what I suggest. This is what I'm going to tell you to do. Make yourself sick. He says in verse number 5, lay thee down on thy bed and make thyself sick. I don't know what you do. Stick your finger down your throat. Do something. Do something, but make yourself sick. And when David comes, you tell him, oh, daddy, I'm so sick. I can't do anything. And he says, well, I'm going to send my best doctors. No, don't send them. They're busy. Just send one of my sisters. Oh, how about Tamar? She's not doing anything today. And so he gives him advice that leads him to lie to his father. And so I want you to understand that anyone who gives you advice that leads you to deal deceitfully with those in authority over you is not your friend. And they are someone that person is a good candidate to being the Jonadab in your life. And maybe some of you sitting in here today, you have that type of friend. A type of friend that has given you counsel and encourages you to lie to your authority figures. That gives you advice that leads you to deal deceitfully with them. Whether it be the staff, whether it be your pastor back home, whether it be your parents, whoever it may be. That person is a Jonadab and will be used by Satan to destroy your life. You have a Jonadab in your life. Or a Jonadab in your life if you have someone that has this characteristic. Some of you have friends that have given you advice that has led you to deal deceitfully in your dealings with your parents. Some of you have friends that have given you advice to deal deceitfully with those on staff here. Let me tell you, whoever that person is, get rid of that person quickly. The Bible says in Proverbs 24 and verse number 2, "For their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief." And let me say, some of you don't have a good relationship with your parents. because of the advice that you have received from some of your friends. Let me tell you, you cannot serve God and you cannot be used of God if you don't have a good relationship with your mom and dad. Well, you say, well, they're unsaved. Well, you know what? While I was here, there were several students that had parents who were unsaved, and yet they had a good relationship with them. They had a good testimony before them. And if you cannot have a good relationship with your parents, if you deal deceitfully with your parents, if you deal deceitfully with those in authority over you, God cannot and will not use you. Or you can try to serve God, because obviously you can serve God with sin in your life and deceive everyone, but there's a God in heaven who knows your heart. And you can try to serve God. And I love the passage in the book of Haggai chapter number 2. Where he says that, you know, that the priests were coming to the altar and they were sacrificing their, bringing their sacrifices and the sacrifices and putting them upon the altar. And God said to them, listen, I will not accept this at your hand. Why? He says, because your hands are dirty. Your hands are dirty, and the sin that is on your hands has contaminated this work, this sacrifice that you have laid before me. And so if you have deceitfully dealt with those in authority over you, or if you're doing that even now, the power of God cannot be upon your life. You can try to deceive yourself, or you can try to fool yourself and others, but there's a God in heaven whom you cannot deceive. Proverbs 10 and verse number 1, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. A fool despiseth his father's instructions. The Bible says in Proverbs 19 and verse 27, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err and from the words of knowledge. Whom are you listening to this morning? Do you have a Jonadab in your life? Quickly this morning. Lastly, I want you to see in verse number 3, you have a Jonadab in your life if you have a friend that gives you advice that leads you to fulfill the desires of your flesh. You have a Jonadab in your life if you have a friend that gives you advice that leads you to fulfill the desires of your flesh. A Jonadab will give you advice that goes against the word of God. He will give you advice that will lead you to deal deceitfully with those in authority over you. And he will also give you advice that will lead you to fulfill the desires of your flesh. Jonadab was a wicked man. He delighted in sin and delighted seeing others get involved in it. Jonadab was the type of man that the Bible says is a person who rejoiceth to do evil and delighted in the forwardness of the wicked. Is that the type of friend you want in your life? Some of you have friends that are giving you advice on how to fulfill the desires of the flesh. They are enticing you to fulfill the desires of your flesh by fabricating an opportunity for you to satisfy those sinful desires. Some of you guys have a problem with, you may have a problem with pornography because you had a friend, or you have a friend that got you started on it. Some of you girls are probably dealing with the same problem because you have a Jonadab in your life that got you started on it. And a Jonadab is always someone who will focus your attention on fulfilling the desires of the flesh instead of fulfilling the will of God. That is a person that is being used by Satan to keep you from the perfect will of God. The devil will use that Jonadab in your life to get you to fulfill the desires of the flesh, to get you to taste a little of immorality. The devil will use that friend to get you to live a life completely focused on the desires of the flesh. I want to say for those of you who are dating, and I believe that the dating standards here and the rules are great, but I want you to understand, if you are dating, if he or she is sweet-talking you into fulfilling the desires of your body and of your flesh, he's a Jonadab. She's a Jonadab. I don't care how good he can preach. I don't care how good he can exposit the word of God. If he is giving you advice that goes against the word of God and is leading you to fulfill the desires of the flesh, he's a Jonadab. Get rid of him. Get rid of him. I don't care how pretty she is, I don't care if she's the best looking girl on campus. If she is leading you to the point where you are fulfilling the desires of the flesh, whether physically or mentally, that person is a Jonadab. He or she is a Jonadab. Jonadab told Amnon exactly what needed to be done in order for him to fulfill the lust of his life. But in verse number 13, we see that this advice did not turn out the way Amnon thought it would. For the Bible says there that Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he loved her. And so why do we come, where we get to the point where we find out that all of the desires of the flesh, yes, they will keep you, keep your attention, and they will be but for a season. But then you will have all of the consequences. And if you fall into that, one of the consequences is that God can put you aside. He can put you on a shelf, and the opportunity and the talent and the blessings that He wanted to give to you, He will pass on to someone else who learned to choose friends, and someone who learned to choose right friendships, someone who understood God has called me and I need to separate myself from anyone who is carnal, who is wicked, and who is giving me advice that goes against the Word of God. God will take that blessing from you, and I want you to understand this. God always has a substitute. He always has a substitute. He had a substitute for Saul. He had David. He had a substitute for him. We come to Elijah. And when Elijah went into that cave and he just didn't want to keep going anymore, he had Elisha. He had Israel, and Israel failed, and he made the church. God always has a substitute. And if you're not willing to follow the will of God in your life, He will have someone to take your place. I pray that if you have a Jonadab in your life, if you have a friend that fits these characteristics, you will stop listening and stop being around that person before it is too late. Now, what are the results of having a Jonadab in your life? First, we see, number one, we see unfulfilled desires. We see that in verse number 15. Unfulfilled desires. Secondly, we see a destroyed family. You can continue reading in verse chapter number 13 and verse number 14, and you will find out that this family was destroyed because of this. In Romans 14 and verse number 7, the Bible says, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself." I want you to understand that whatever you do in life, whatever your decision you make in life, does affect other people. A destroyed family. Third, we see a destroyed life. 2 years go by. The Bible says that after 2 years, Absalom did not speak either good or evil to his brother Amnon. But after 2 years, the Bible says that he throws a party. He invites all of his brothers and sisters. And among them is this man, Amnon, who had raped his sister. And the Bible says that while he was drunk, Absalom tells his servants to get up and to kill this man, and that's exactly what they did. And so a Jonadab will lead you to a life of destruction. And what happens to Jonadab? Well, you find out that when this party takes place, a messenger runs back to the palace and tells David, Absalom has killed all of your sons and daughters. And David is crying. He's lamenting over this horrible event that has taken place. But Jonadab is standing right there. And Jonadab says, "No, king, don't cry. Don't cry. Not all of your sons and daughters have died. Only one has died." Who has died, Jonadab? Oh, it was Amnon. And this has been planned by Absalom from the day that he forced his sister. And so we see a unfulfilled desires, a destroyed family, a destroyed life, and an untouched Jonadab. Where is Jonadab at the end of the story? He's in the palace. How's his life? His life is good. No worries whatsoever. Where's Amnon? He's dead. And that's what Satan wants to do to your life. He wants to destroy your life. He knows the potential that's within you. He knows what God can do through a life that is wholly devoted to Him. He knows what God can do through a man and through a lady that has given their life over to the Lord. And He understands, I need to do something in the life of this young man. I need to do something in the life of this young lady so that they don't get to the point where God can do something great in his or her life. And one of the ways He will do that is through friendships. If your friends are not spiritual, if they're not helping you in your spiritual life, I'm telling you, if your friends, the only thing they can do is talk about their video games and their Xbox and their whatever else they're playing, if the only thing they can talk about is sports and their sports teams and all these other things, and you never hear them speaking about spiritual things, you never hear them speaking about their work for the Lord, you never hear them speaking about the souls that have been saved through their ministry, listen, if I were you, I would get away from that person. Get away from him. They're not going to help you. Oh, but he's my friend. Do you value that friendship more than the calling of God? Do you value that friendship more than the calling of God? If you do, you don't deserve to be in the ministry. You don't. Because God has given you a high, holy calling. And you ought to protect it as much as possible. Let us pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to serve you. We thank you, dear Lord, for the opportunity that we have to be in your ministry on a full-time basis. The opportunity to preach your word and teach others about it. I pray, oh God, that this morning you would work in the hearts. Even in a Bible college, I know from experience, you can have a Jonadab in your life. And some of these students may have their Jonadab in this very room this morning. Some of them, their Jonadab is waiting for them to get back during Christmas break. I pray, oh God, that you will work in their hearts. Thank you for loving us, for being patient with us. But give us, oh Father, the wisdom to look into our lives, examine our lives, Lord, and find out whether we have a Jonadab or not. And if we do, oh God, I pray, help us. Help us to get away from that subtle man that loves mischief and destruction. Help us, dear Lord. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask you to stand, please. And as you stand, a simple question this morning. Do you have a Jonadab in your life? What kind of friends do you have? Do you have in your life this morning a friend that is being used by Satan to hinder your spiritual life? Do you have someone in your life right now that Satan is using to hinder your service for the Lord? If you have that type of person, whether he or she is here or back home, I encourage you. Come now and ask the Lord, Lord, help me. Help me not to get sidetracked by these friendships. If that's you, would you lift your hand this morning if you say, Pastor, please pray for me. I have that type of friend in my life. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Anyone else? Amen. Amen. Thank you. Anyone else will say, please pray for me. I have that type of friend. I have that type of friend in my life. Would you pray for me? Anyone else? Thank you. To my right, thank you. Thank you in the back. Hey, it may be hard to say goodbye. It may be hard to tell that person we're done. We're just going to go our separate ways. But I'm going to tell you, the calling of God is worth it. The service of God is worth it. And that relationship is not more important than the calling of God upon your life.